Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to having a dialogue and discussion with you on the air. It is our invitation to you to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone call that gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we'll be talking about disarming America and dishonoring God. Now, I can have an elongated title to the issues that we're covering today, but that's kind of an encapsulation of the subject matter that we'll be discussing. But let me remind you, as we discuss these issues, as we face the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is God's Word that is the truth book. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the Word of God that is the truth. It's Jesus Himself that says, "I am truth." It's the Lord Jesus that said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself that said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth," speaking of the truth of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I think you will agree with me that truth is not sought after today. Truth is not generally wanted today. Truth is generally a term, a word that is not discussed today. In fact, you won't find anything surrounding the Beltway of Washington that will be called truth. In fact, they shy away from anything that is referred to as truth. It's one of the reasons that part of our discussion today, we're talking about the fact that U.S. House of Representatives member Jerry Nadler said that God is not needed. God is not welcomed in the halls of Congress. That God is not needed in the U.S. House of Representatives. In fact, his very statement was, "God has no place at the U.S. Congress," end quote. What do we do with that kind of statement? That is dishonoring God. That's demeaning the Word of God. It is dissing the power of God. And that linked with what we are finding coming out of Washington today ought to cause every Christian, every child of God, every conservative, every patriot to sit up, stand up, speak up, and stop being silent. Ladies and gentlemen, truth, it's truth that George Orwell spoke of, that secularist, in his book 1984. The secularist George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're in that very place today. But I commend to you the words of Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's what I commend to you today, is that we seek the truth, we learn the truth, we live the truth, and we tell the truth, and we stand on the truth, even if it means our standing. We must stand alone and face death for standing on the truth. Now, I commend that to every listener today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional and the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic flagpole there, 165 feet in there. It has Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party appears to be on the fast track for destroying American sovereignty, destroying our Constitution and a Bill of Rights. And as President Trump said at CPAC, that Joe Biden has done more to destroy and to harm America in 40 days than any other presidential candidate or presidential office in the history of America. And I believe he's exactly right. Today, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you, by way of introduction, before we introduce our special guest today, let me just give you a whole litany of some of these things that the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party have carried out and they're carrying out as we speak, that is bringing about the ultimate destruction of the United States of America, our Constitutional Republic, and in more particular, our Bill of Rights. Citizenship by the fact that we are American citizens seemingly has no authority in America today. They're opening the borders, that is Joe Biden, the Biden administration. But ladies and gentlemen, censorship by big tech, approved by the Biden administration, is causing greater and greater consternation. We're going to talk about that in a moment with our guest. Secondly, we're talking about the six different gun bills. There's six gun bills that's floating around in the House, three of them that were drafted by and got sponsorship otherwise by Sheila Jackson Lee. And frightening when you read those gun bills and what it will destroy in America with our right to keep and bear arms and the freedom that we have, the freedom, by the way, that was given by God in the Word of God, that's confirmed in our Constitution, and it is codified in our Constitution, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in years gone by. But ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. House has just passed the House Bill 5. We'll talk about that, the Equality Act. It's going to destroy religious liberties and the freedom of speech in America as nothing else could have done. It's already passed the House. 200 and some odd members of the House on the Democratic side and three members on the Republican side, making a whopping majority. We'll talk about that in a moment. House Bill 1, many aren't even aware of that, is the federalization of the election laws in America. It's making every state subservient to the federal government when it comes to the election laws, providing mail-in ballot, no citizenship required, and a 45-day election period of time, not just one day for election. President Trump said at CPAC in his speech that he believes we need to go back to one day for election. I'm in full agreement with that. We'll talk about that in a moment. Biden supposedly following science, and yet Joe Biden saying today that we need to wear two masks, three masks, and some of his so-called scientists are saying perhaps even four masks would be better protection. Even if you get a vaccination, you'll still need to be social distancing and wearing a mask, et cetera, according to some of those that seem to know what they're talking about. In fact, here's an article. It says what is happening right now in the United States of America is simply shocking. Our country is traveling down a slippery slope, this writer says. Although the mob has canceled great American heroes like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, schools are being renamed to erase the great leaders of history. Statues are being torn down while law enforcement looks on and does nothing. Socialism in America is growing by leaps and bounds across our nation. That just sets the stage, ladies and gentlemen, of where we are. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, the comrade Emperor Fauci, as one has called him, Lord Fauci, warns Americans may need to wear a mask even into 2022. Let me just read you a little blurb to set the stage on some of the things we'll be discussing. As we discuss it today, let me remind you again, you can dial 831-0917, join in the dialogue and discussion at any point you want to jump in. Dr. Fauci warns that America may need to wear masks into 2022. Quote, you and the president have suggested that we'll approach normality toward the end of this year. What does that mean to you? Do you think Americans will still be wearing masks, for example, in 2022? The host, Dana Bash, asked Fauci. Quote, you know, I think it's possible. I believe it's the case, he said in response. It depends on what you mean by normality. Dr. Fauci said we'll never go back to normal, and he's avoiding that question. He's hedging his bet, if you will, every time something is asked. Here's one article that says, NBC doctor says people shouldn't travel or be liberated from wearing masks, even until through the summer, even if they've been vaccinated. A doctor who appeared on screen as an expert on NBC News is facing harsh backlash after suggesting on the air that even people who have been vaccinated from the novel coronavirus should not travel until the vaccine has been made available to the entire country, which will not happen until sometimes next summer, he says. Dr. Gupta made the comments on Meet the Press Sunday in response to the news that one of the first people in America to receive COVID-19 was excited because it meant they would be free to travel. Further in the article, it says, just because you get vaccinated with the second dose does not mean that you should be participating in anything like traveling into or out of the country or even across the nation. You should not think that you've been liberated and that you shouldn't wear a mask, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a tyrannical form of government over us. We're seeing a dictatorial form of government being formed overnight in America. We're watching the shadow government standing up. We have already watched the national coup where a president was overthrown under the guise of protecting us from COVID-19. So what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that we're disarming America. And that's one of the things, because right now there's 6 gun bills that's being worked through the House. Our nation's schools and churches, many of the churches are still closed. And ladies and gentlemen, with the supposed science that we're following, I'm horrified at where we're going. Should we sit in silence as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? What should we do? Ezekiel 33:10 asked the question, how should we then live? Francis Schaeffer repeated that statement on much that he did in his writings, in his videos of his era. How should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, another example of where we are before we have a wonderful dialogue and discussion with our guest today. A 9-year-old girl in school in Braxton, Mississippi, was censored for wearing a mask with Jesus on the mask. She was wearing that because she said, as her 9-year-old thoughts were, she said, it caused me to think that just as the mask is wrapped around my face, Jesus is surrounding me, protecting me. But ladies and gentlemen, the whole family was censored. The daughter was censored, told that she could not wear a mask with writing on it. Yet in that entire school, they allow Black Lives Matter mask and other masks to be worn. Even when it was challenged, they ultimately had to get Alliance Defending Freedom to step in to give relief. But even when it was challenged, there was no basis for saying she couldn't wear the mask. Nothing in written policy that says she couldn't have Jesus written on a mask. But when the superintendent of schools was put on the spot, he inserted the phrase that a mask could not have anything written on it, only to be discovered that he had lied. He had forged the document, and it was not really the policy. But ladies and gentlemen, the point is that we find things happening today at a rapid speed in America, and then to find that God is dismissed in the halls of Congress, that God is dissed in the halls of Congress, where Representative Jerry Nadler said, God has no place in the U.S. Congress. How can a person, individual, simply think that he has the power to diss God and dismiss God, showing arrogance toward God? Toward God as our creator. And Christian conservatives are supposed to be silent. Ladies and gentlemen, we're honored today to have with us our special guest and friend of mine on Let's Face the Issues, former Florida District 1 Representative Mike Hill. Mike is with us today. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. And the very last comment that you made concerning Representative Nadler, who says that God has no place in Congress, is a complete fraud. And I'll tell you why. He said an oath of office. The same oath of office that all elected officials say, that they do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution, which is, by the way, a God-given document, a God-inspired document. I would not call it a God-breathed document like our Bible, but it is God-inspired, and a lot of it is based on biblical principles. And when he said the oath to support, protect, and defend that Constitution, he ended it with, so help me God.
Absolutely.
So how can you say an oath with so help me God, and then in the next breath say God has no place in Congress? That tells me that you didn't take your oath seriously, that it meant nothing to you. And to occupy your seat, two things have to happen. You have to have more votes than your opponent, and you have to say that oath of office. So if that oath of office was not sincere, if it was not what you intended, then that means you are occupying your seat illegitimately, and you should be removed from office.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman, one of the things that I have discussed many, many times, and perhaps we need to refresh our memories on that, when it comes down to what is done, whether it's on the local level in a city council, or in some cities they call it Board of Aldermen, or whether it's in the state houses of representatives or the Senate seats of the U.S. Congress, including the House and the Senate, any law that is promulgated ought to first meet muster based on the Constitution. Are we, have we, is that something that is of yesteryear? Is that something that should be moot today? Is that something that we should just think is not really important today? How do you view that? As you've said just a moment ago about swearing an oath, your oath in office, you're sworn in based on defending the Constitution, so help me God. And then to find most of our laws today on a national level, on a state level, rarely does it pass muster, as I would simply call it, in view of the Constitution. What are your thoughts on that, and what should we do in relationship to it?
No, you're absolutely right. And the reason why so many laws are being passed with do not support our Constitution, in fact, many of them contradict the Constitution, is because people are electing those in office who have no idea what the Constitution even says. And so the fault not only falls on those who are elected into office, but those who elected them into office. Too many of the voting population right now has no idea what the Constitution says. They may have been assigned to read it when they were in the eighth grade in high school and didn't read it then and probably failed that test and haven't read it since. We have an elected official, a state Republican here in a Pensacola area who was asked at a meeting recently, when was the last time you read the Constitution? No, it was, have you read the Constitution? And a response was, not all of it. And so the member in the audience who asked that question said, well, don't you think you should, since you said an oath to protect and defend it? And there was silence. So you see, Dr. Youngblood, we have people at the congressional level, at the state level, at the county and city level, making and passing laws that are completely unconstitutional because they do not know what it says. Now, that's the big majority, but there is also a small vocal minority who hate the United States for whatever reason, and they intentionally, not out of ignorance, they intentionally pass laws that they know are against our Constitution, such as Representative Jackson Lee, who is trying to pass this anti-gun law. She knows it is against our Constitution, and her statement is, I dare you to try to stop me. We're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Just like they knew what they were doing with that election was illegal, our presidential election was illegal, was fraudulent, they brazenly said, I dare you to try to stop us. And so far, it looks like they got away with that coup d'etat. The same with the senators who were elected in Georgia. Before that election happened, everyone knew they were going to cheat. And they did cheat, and they got away with it, apparently, so far, because we have a cowardly Supreme Court, as President Trump called them, who will not stand up to justice and righteousness.
Absolutely. And when you say that, I pause even hesitantly to say, because when he was the governor of the state of Florida, I had admiration for him, not saying that he was a perfect person. But today, I'm questioning that with Senator Scott, Rick Scott. When Rick Scott was being interviewed and pressed by Communist Network News commentator about whether the election was a fraud or whether there was any fraud that took place in the national election, the presidential election, and he tried to skirt it two or three times, and finally the commentator said, but you haven't answered my question. Do you feel that there was fraud in the election? He said, no, not at all. President Biden won the election fair and square, and he's our president. Now, I'm shocked by that. I ought not to be, but I'm shocked by that. I'm saddened by that statement. And that's part and parcel of what we're talking about with the Constitution not being adhered to. And the view now today, the view is that if you say anything about the coup d'etat, as you spoke of a moment ago, that is the coup, the overthrow of the U.S. government by the presidency's defeat by fraudulent election, that if anything said about that, that you are now part of that which we're being called domestic terrorist. How do you respond to that philosophy today that if you take a stand for truth, call it like it is, that now you're part of the domestic terrorist?
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Youngblood. I had one of my constituents here in the Pensacola area come to me about 6 months ago, and I was still in office then. And he said, Representative Hill, what do you think about calling those who commit abortion domestic terrorist? And I looked at him and I said, well, tell me a little bit more. He said, well, what they are doing is an act of terror. I said, well, it is indeed, especially to the child in the womb. And he says, and also to the mother and the father. It is an act of terror. Why don't we call them domestic terrorists? And I said, well, you know, that's an interesting thought. I never really pursued it that much further. He wanted me to introduce legislation to do that because I knew in our current leadership in the Florida House and Florida Senate, it wouldn't get anywhere. They're too squishy to take something as principled as that. But now here we have on a national level where people, as you say, Dr. Youngblood, who stand for truth, who stand for freedom, who stand for God, are called domestic terrorists, and we are letting them get away with it. Let me step back. I'm sorry. Dr. Youngblood, you and I, and I'm sure many of your listeners, are not letting them get away with it, but our national media, too many Republicans in the establishment part of the party, are letting them get away with it instead of outrageously declaring, you're the terrorist, not us. You're the ones breaking the law, not us.
Absolutely right. And when it comes to our Constitution, let me do a little hypothetical for the benefit of our listeners. I don't think perhaps that most have not analyzed it in this fashion. If a law is passed that is blatantly unconstitutional, is it required, should it be required of the citizens to obey an unconstitutional law, or is it incumbent upon we, the people, to disobey an unconstitutional law? Is an unconstitutional law really law in America is the question that I believe should be asked.
No, it is not, Dr. Youngblood. And in fact, in our Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers stated that when we have a government that is acting tyrannical, that is imposing tyranny on its people, then it is their duty and obligation to break bonds with that government. And that's what we are seeing right now. You know, I'd like your listeners to call in and let us know what they think about our Senator Rick Scott at 831-0917. We had this same Senator Scott, when he was governor, signed into law a very unconstitutional gun bill, which brought into Florida where someone between the ages of 18 and 20 could not purchase a long gun, already can't purchase a handgun, so they are now held harmless. Let me take that back. They are now unable to protect themselves against any sort of criminal activity which may come their way. Even if they're in the military and deployed overseas, their spouse who is back at home, maybe with children, is unable to protect him or herself because they are under the age of 21. Senator Rick Scott signed it into law when he was governor. Also, red flag laws that just based on an accusation from someone, you can have your firearms and ammunition taken away from you without jury or trial, and then you have to prove your innocence.
That's it. Isn't that part of what they call the red flag law?
That's right. That's the red flag law. Mm-hmm. And now he and Senator Marco Rubio, have teamed up to try and make that go national, the red flag laws, to be able to take weapons away from someone just based on an accusation. It is not saying innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty and then proving your innocence, a direct violation of the Constitution of the United States and of the state of Florida.
That is that will eviscerate our Second Amendment. In fact, we've got a caller on the line, but before I take that call, Congressman, let me read you a headline here. Indiana House votes to eliminate any license to carry a handgun in the state. The bill specified that certain offenders could still be prohibited for carrying a handgun. And Indiana voted Monday to eliminate the license to carry a handgun in the state, an apparent victory, at least temporarily, for the support of the Second Amendment. House Bill 1369 passed by 65-31 votes and now heads to the Senate to repeal any law that requires a person to obtain a license to carry a handgun in Indiana. And it goes further to talk about the specificity of the bill or the law. I believe that is the only way we can find a free and clear use of our Second Amendment right, is to find where there is no infringement based on governmental interference with that. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, it's the handwriting is appearing on the wall. I think we're in stage 4 apostasy. I don't know if this can be reversed, but I do have a few practical things. It's blatantly unfair to allow anti-biblical legislation and then forbid Christians to be active legislatively. There's, the Christian political activity is guaranteed by the Constitution. There's three ways to combat political assault on Christians, and it's, very well known. I mean, it's mail out of professional brochures, well-crafted radio ads, professional-crafted TV ads. I mean, we need to get in the game, but, I mean, it sounds like we're too far gone to, I'm afraid.
You're exactly right, brother. Congressman, got about 45 seconds before the top of the hour news. How do you respond to Joseph's statement?
Well, Joseph, it's accurate, and what you're saying is that the Christianity is under attack. That does not mean that we are to be milquetoast Christians and sit back and take it. It doesn't mean that we have to say we're going to obey the laws and lead a quiet and peaceable life. No, we are to pray for our those in leadership, those in authority, pray that they make the right decisions, pray that they will honor the Bible and the Constitution. And when they don't, we throw them out of office. And while
Absolutely.
We're in office, we are very vocal about stopping what they are trying to do.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.